So if you want to open your Bibles to Malachi chapter 3, that is where we are going to start. We're going to work our way through some of the passages here, because today we're talking about tithing. And when I talk about tithing, some people get just a tad worked up. And they're like, well, Pastor, tithing's not for today. It's the law. It's the Old Testament. And last week when we looked at this, my whole point in last week's sermon was for you to see that tithing was well before the law. Tithing started in Genesis. We see where Cain and Abel gave. Cain's was not accepted by God. Abel's was. We talked about that. Then when we went fast forward a little bit to Abraham, we saw where Abraham gave a tithe. And that was well before the laws. Well, Moses isn't even on the scene yet, and Abraham gives a tithe. We see where Jacob gives a tithe. And so Jacob is well before Moses and the law as well. The interesting thing about the tithe is it is what God requires of us to give, and then he wants to bless us from that. And we will see how he does that. This morning, I've asked Howie if he would give a testimony. So Howie, if you would make your way forward, I would really appreciate that. Come on up here. I'm going to get a mic ready for you so that you don't have to climb up here. Let me see whose mic I want to destroy today. Unwrap it, you know, because they have it all nice and neat here and annoying and... No, I'm kidding. You're right here, brother. Come on up. We're patient. By the way, Howie just had heart surgery last week, and he's here this morning. Amen. How good is God?
He's good.
Yeah. And so when you talk, there you go. Just loud enough so they can hear you. That's in okay. The mic.
Okay.
Can you hear him?
No. Here? Closer? Can you hear me now?
There you go.
I'd just like to thank everybody for their prayers this past week. My surgery went very well, and I haven't had one episode of dizziness or feeling like I was going to fall from Tuesday to today. And I had a lot of dizziness before, and I wasn't getting the oxygenated blood, and that was the whole deal. So I'm just thankful for all of you, the ones that I know and the ones that I don't. I just want to thank you for that. So, Pastor asked me to talk about tithing a little bit. So, back in the 70s, after I was home from Vietnam and I was working, my wife and I got saved, and it wasn't that simple, but we got saved, and we started going to church, and the subject of tithing came up. And it was one of those things where you say, boy, 10%, man. You know, and we were struggling like everybody else, like a lot of you here now. And you struggle from paycheck to paycheck. And you say, well, I just can't afford to do that. But we were burdened with that. And at some point, we started to tithe. And it did seem like a lot of money on Sunday. But I'll tell you right now, as soon as we started tithing almost, we never had a money worry after that. Prior to that, there were weeks when we just didn't have enough money. And it might have been because we spent too much, or it might have been for whatever reason. But as soon as we started tithing, things financially became better. Now, I don't want you to think that you tithe and then God dumps some extra money in the mailbox, because it's not always that way. And you can be blessed back by other things than money. And I think we all know that and have experienced some of that. But there came a time when we felt We had to leave the church we were going to. There had been a couple of instances where pastors left, and just as you get locked onto another, don't you leave. And just as you get locked onto a new one, he leaves. And a lot of these young pastors, I don't know what it is, they get an idea that their idea is better. And so they're going to strike off and start a new movement or a new church or whatever. And my wife and I had been hurt at least twice that way with pastors leaving. And so we just decided at that point that you said 3 minutes, right?
Whatever, go ahead.
But we decided at that point that we were going to stop going to church. We didn't. When you want to go to a new church and you don't know the church, you don't know anybody that goes there, you don't know if it's the direction you should take or not. And we just stopped going to church, and we stopped going for way too long. And my wife said to me one day, she says, you know, we really should start going to church again. And I said, okay, well, where do you think we should go? And my daughter Juanita went to church here. A lot of you know her. And she said, well, why don't you come down to our church? And I said, okay. And we came down, and we were loved from the moment we stepped in the door. And it's been great ever since. But I like Pastor because he just preaches truth. He just preaches God's word. He doesn't put in a lot of opinions and stuff like that. And I look forward to November each year when he talks about tithing, because as you learn more and more about it as time goes on, it makes it easier to do. And we started tithing here about the third time we came. You know, when you visit a new church, you drop the 20 in the basket and you go on but that burden came right back to us. And our life has been so blessed. I can't even tell you how our life has been blessed. And I think a good deal of it is because we've tried to be obedient to God in the way of tithing. And it says in the Bible in several places, it says, you take the first fruits and bring them to the storehouse and other things like that. And the church can't run on good wishes and, oh my goodness, I like you, you know, any more than your house can run on that. That's why moms and dads have to work and all the rest. So I implore you people, I shouldn't say it like that, that sounds terrible, but I implore you to really consider tithing. And like I say, please don't think it's going to mean instant riches. That's not the thing. The thing is obedience. And we need money for the church to run. We need money to pay pastor's exorbitant salary. But it seems that God sees it that way, so we're good with it. But really, you will receive so many blessings that you won't be able to count them. And so I just wanted to share with you what tithing has meant to us. And I'm retired now, I'm on fixed income. But we find it much easier now because a lot of our bills are, you know, we're just in a better place. And thank God for the Veterans Administration.
Amen.
But the first thing we do when we get our checks, we get our retirement checks on the first, and we get our Social Security check, I think it is. They come on the second Tuesday of the month, and I think my VA check comes on the first. But anyway, when those checks come twice a month, I immediately make out the tithe to the church and put it in. You know, I do it through Faith Life. It's so easy. So I guess that's all I really have to share with you. But you tithe first and continue to tithe, and God will bless you. He will bless you. He won't be able to catch them all, you know. So thank you for being here. If it's your first time here, we really appreciate it, and we hope you'll come back. And I guess we'll come again next week, all right? Okay. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I was going to say, I just asked him to share a testimony. I had no clue what he was going to say, obviously. Obviously. Exorbitant. Oh, Howie, I don't even know why I love you. Okay. I asked Howie if he would give a testimony because Howie is so faithful to the tithe. And, you know, a lot of people say, you expect retired people on a fixed income to tithe? I don't. God does. And we even see it in the scriptures where the lady gives two mites, right? And God says she gave more than anyone because she gave out of her necessity. As you read in that passage and it talks that where the lady's giving of the two mites, what you read is, Jesus, it says that Jesus is standing there watching over what people give. He's watching what they give. Does that mean that money matters to God? Yeah, money matters to God. But I just want you to know today that we're talking about tithing, but this is going to be between you and God. Next week, we're talking about attitude on tithing. But this week, we're going to talk about the tithe and should we tithe and then the blessings that flow from tithing. See, guys, it's not about money. It's never been about money. What it is about is your relationship with God, and do you trust Him with your first fruits? Do you trust Him with what He gives you enough to give Him back a tenth, knowing that He will return it 100-fold, 1,000-fold, and maybe not financially, maybe not. Listen, you give $10, you might not get $100 back. But we're going to see in the scriptures how He blesses us with the tithe. So what I want you to see is that God, we talked about Abraham and how God, or Abraham gave. We talked about Jacob, how Jacob gave. All this is well before the law. And then we have the law. And then we get into the New Testament because I hear people go, hey, tithing is not in the New Testament. It's nowhere in the New Testament. Man, that is not true. It is absolutely not true. Number one, tithing is in the New Testament, which we see in Matthew 23:23. If you will pull Matthew 23:23 up. I didn't give sound any scripture today. So they're on, just as I call it out, you guys pull it up and it'll be good. But in Matthew 23:23, Jesus says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone or without leaving the tithe undone." And so in the New Testament, Jesus is still saying that we need the tithe. Don't leave it undone. Then if we go into Hebrews, which if you want to pull up Hebrews chapter 7, we're going to go 7:1 is where we will start. If you guys want to open your Bibles to that in Hebrews chapter 7, 7:1. I'm sorry. 7:1. My apologies. I will get there myself. In 7:1, and we're just going to read down through, as a matter of fact, we will read to 10. 7:10. It says in 7:1, "For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him." Melchizedek is a picture of Christ. Okay? And we're going to see this as we read, because he has no beginning, he has no ending, he has no parents, no earthly parents. And so we see this is an absolute picture of Christ. It says, "To whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being translated king of righteousness, and then also king of Salem," meaning king of peace. Verse 3. "Without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like the Son of God, remains a priest continually." And if you were to go back into Hebrews chapter 2 through 4, you will see that Jesus Christ is a priest, and he is the priest above all priests, right? And so then we continue on, or the author continues in 7. Go to 7:4, please. "Now consider how great this man was, to whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of the spoils." Abraham was the man, right? I mean, if you look in the Old Testament, it's Abraham's the man. And then you see Abraham giving Melchizedek a tenth, because Melchizedek is a picture of Christ. And so the author says, "Consider how great Abraham was, to whom even the, or this man, Melchizedek was, to whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of the spoils," which the spoils are gain. Right? Because people say, "Well, what do we tithe on? How do we tithe?" These are, and by the way, this year, I am so encouraged. I have more people asking me about the tithe and how to tithe and when to tithe. It is amazing the interest that I see of people wanting to surrender to Christ and do what is right. And I am so blessed by that. And so, they're like, "Well, what do we tithe on?" The spoils. Well, what's the spoils? It's the gain that you get. So every time money comes in, if it comes into your home, you tithe on it. It's that simple. We owe God a dime of every dollar. Nobody in here has a problem giving God one dime out of every dollar that they get. As a matter of fact, I'm going to go as far as to say most people don't have a problem giving God a dollar out of every $10 that they get, or even 10 bucks out of every 100. But the higher it goes, for whatever reason, the harder it gets for people to give. So now we make $5,000 a month, which, by the way, it takes about $4,500 a month minimum. Like, that is the bottom line that you can survive in New York on. And all of a sudden you got to give $450. Right? We start choking a little bit, because we don't see much value in a dime, or even much value in a buck. We'll give that away. We'll throw it away. Listen, every time I go in a store, I always, from the time I get out of my vehicle to the time I go back to my vehicle, I look at the ground. I mean, I observe everything that goes on, but I'm constantly looking down as well. And I'm going to tell you, in the last week, I've probably made between $2 and $3 going to the store. It is amazing how people drop money and just keep on walking. And it used to be pennies, they drop pennies, which I will tell you this, man, I pick up a penny, 99 more, I got a dollar. That's my outlook, right? But I've been finding more silver than copper lately. I'm like, there's a quarter. There's a dime. I am not kidding you. I'm like, "Okay, Lord, I'll just keep putting it in my pocket," right? Thank you, Jesus. Because for some reason, we don't value a dime anymore. I think with inflation and the cost of everything, what's a dime? And then what's a dollar? We'll give away a dollar. We don't care about a dollar. It's fine. But as it goes up, the struggle gets more and more real. And guys, I just want you to know that as you are challenged with what you give to the Lord, don't give it begrudgingly. And that's the attitude that God doesn't want. And we'll talk about that next week. And a lot of people are like, "Hey, I get blessed no matter what. Everything's good. I don't give God anything." Man, if you got what you have now and give God nothing, can you imagine what you'll get if you were to actually give God what's His? Right? But sometimes we get so greedy, we want to hold on. We want to hold on. And God says, "Hey, the tithe is mine." And what I find real interesting is we see in the very beginning, Cain and Abel, we see Abraham, we see Jacob. And then here is a reminder in Hebrews of Abraham giving to Melchizedek, or Christ, if you will, the tithe. And verse 5 says, "And indeed, those who are the sons of Levi, who receive the priesthood, have a commandment to receive the tithes from the people according to the law, that is, from their brethren, though they have come from the loins of Abraham." 6. "But he whose genealogy is not derived from them received the tithes from Abraham and blessed him who had the promises." Listen, if you notice, the author of Hebrews disconnects the law and those that were under the law. And he says, look, those whose genealogy is not derived from them. Go to verse 7, please. That'd be Hebrews 7:7. There we go. "Now, beyond all contradiction, the lesser is blessed by the better." The lesser, Abraham, is blessed by the better, Melchizedek. And guys, that's my point today, is I want you to see that the lesser, us, will be blessed by the better, Christ. Because we need to see that, right? We need to see the promises of God. So Malachi chapter 3. I want you to go to Malachi chapter 3. Now in Malachi, what we will find is we find a really hard heart toward God. The whole book of Malachi is a letter to Israel because of their hard heart. But we also see that there's a prophetic part of that. And the prophetic part of that starts coming in chapter 3 and goes into chapter 4 of what's to come, meaning when we get to the New Testament, because it references Elijah, which would be John the Baptist is the picture of Elijah coming. And so we see that even in Malachi, God talks about the tithe and then a direct reference to the New Testament, which would be to us as well. Amen. So in Malachi chapter 3, verse 1, if you have your Bibles open, well, first I need you to 3:1, and then jump down to verse 6. In verse 6, God says, sets it up, if you will, "I am the Lord, I do not change." I find that very interesting that God puts it right here. "I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore, you're not consumed, O sons of Jacob. I am the Lord, I do not change." That means that from the beginning of time, God has been God. And all the way until the end of time, which doesn't come, God will be God. And he doesn't change anywhere in between. "I am the Lord, I do not change." Verse 7, he says, "Yet from the days of your fathers, you've gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them." And then he says, "Return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you said, in what way shall we return?" God establishes, "I am the Lord, I do not change." And then the next thing he says, "I want you to return to me. How should we return to you?" And then God sets them up with the question. In verse 8. "Will a man rob God? I'm the Lord, I do not change. Return to me. How shall we return? Will a man rob God?" He goes immediately into money, immediately into the tithe. Because what we see all throughout history, all throughout time, and even today, especially today, money gets in the way of relationships. It always seems to happen. Amen. How many of you know somebody that they haven't talked to a long distance relative, they're long distance now because $10 bill got in the way? And it's like, man, just forgive the debt. Move on. Go to them. I love you. Keep it. Here's another 10. God bless you. They're like, no, they owe me money and they can't even give me the $10. And oh, I'm not going to talk to them again. And it's like, oh my goodness, man. Oh my goodness. Just settle it. But what we see constantly is money gets in the way. Even when it comes to the things of God, money gets in the way. Oh, I can't go to that church. All they want is my money. And then you get blinded from the truth where all we really want is for you to see God, have a relationship with God, walk with God, have the blessings of God, and be part of a family. But because you hold on to money so tight, that's all that gets in your way. All you care about is money. And I assure you, the promises in Scripture, if you sow abundantly, you will reap abundantly. I've shared with you the about the monkey over in, I think it was in Africa or wherever it's at. And they don't even need traps or anything to catch this monkey. All they do is they anchor a gourd down and they cut a small hole in it and they'll put treats in there. And this monkey will come up and he'll go like this to get his hand in there or paw or whatever a monkey has. Who knows? I don't know, what do you call it? I don't know. Anyway. And so he'll get it in there, right? Squeeze it in there and he gets a handful of the goodies. And then the people just walk up on him. They just walk up to him and just take him, just capture him right there. Because he is so greedy that he will not release the candy. So he has a fistful of it and then his hand won't come out of the hole. And he is so greedy for what's in there that he's willing to sacrifice his freedom before he'll let go of the treat. And that's the way people are sometimes. We hold so tight to the dollar that we won't give God anything because it's ours. It's mine, it's mine, it's mine, right? That'd be our attitude. That we allow Satan to entrap us because we won't give what is God's. And we literally allow ourselves to be imprisoned through our greed. And I just want to tell you, that's not how God operates. And so God says, I am the Lord, I do not change. I love the fact that he establishes that before he goes into the tithe. It was mine in the very beginning, and it's going to be mine in the very end. And anybody that keeps it, you're keeping mine. You're robbing me, God says. It's before the law, it's through the law, it's after the law. Jesus says, don't leave it undone. And God says, if you return to me, verse 7, return to me and I'll return to you. In other words, you do for me what is mine and I will do for you a multitude of blessings. You will see me move in your life. You'll absolutely see. I return to me and I will return to you. But you said, in what way shall we return, Lord? Will a man rob God? Verse 8. Yet you have robbed me. And what I want you to see is what is after you have robbed me. You notice this is an exclamation point. God is emphatic about this. You have robbed me. You have kept what is mine. He says, in what way have we robbed you? God says, in tithes and offerings. And then he says, you're cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me. Verse 9, you're cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me. Even this whole nation. Guys, God is serious about the tithe. But here's the craziest thing about the tithe. How he's like, you've robbed me. But if you give to me, you give me what's mine, man, I will rock your world with blessings. In so much you won't even be able to receive them all. I will pour them out onto you and pour them out onto you so that you will know that I am God. See, this isn't about going broke giving God money. Because the truth is, God doesn't need our money. Amen? He owns everything. And the other truth is, not only does God not need our money, God doesn't even need us. He wants us. And he wants our money so that he can bless us. Amen? So, I got a visitor. He'll be all right. You leave him alone, he'll leave you alone. Amen. Here we go. Everybody's now freaking out. Here we go. Verse 10. All right, everybody look, see. Anybody got a hat? I hate Satan. Return where you came from. All right, here we go. Back here. Everybody back up here. Verse 10, he says this. God says, listen, if you bring all the tithe into the storehouse, that's the tenth into the church. And people are like, no, that's not it. Guys, I'm telling you, because God never changes. And so the storehouse is the house of God. The tithe is a tenth. It is what it is. Even when Jesus spoke of it, the tithe in Matthew, it was the tenth. And when the author of Hebrews speaks of it in Hebrews, it's the house of God, the church, and the tithe is the tenth. It doesn't change. And people say, well, it doesn't mean the same thing, but it does mean the same thing because you don't see anything change in definition. And they understood that. So he says here in 10, bring all the tithes in the storehouse that there may be food in my house and try me now in this. Do you realize that this is the only thing where God says, test me? It's the only place in scripture where God, and the only topic where God says, test me, prove me. Try to prove me wrong in this. I give you permission to try to prove me wrong. Try me now in this. Test me. But then he says, test me in this, right? And he says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it, in verse 10. So first off, the first thing that we see in 10 that God says, you try me in this now and see if I won't bless your socks off. Man, I will give you and bless you and do things for you that you can't do for yourself. And you know what? It might simply be your car never breaks down. It might simply be all of a sudden you go from 20 miles to the gallon in your car, you're getting 25 miles to the gallon in your car. Things will go further. I don't know how God's going to choose to do it, but he has the right and the option to do however he chooses to do, right? But how are you ever going to know what God wants to give you if you don't try him or test him? How crazy is it that God, and only in money does God say, test me in this? And I'm going to tell you why. It's because money is most people's God. Is he above me? Yeah, he loves me. He loves me. It's all right. See, that is Satan right there. Because Satan's like, pay attention to the bee and you won't hear the word of God. Somebody open the door and let him in. That's how it happened. Satan. No, I'm just kidding. Here we go. All right, I need your attention up here. Listen, he ain't going to hurt nobody. Promise. Just ignore him. All right? He doesn't even know you're here. He doesn't care you're here. Ignore him. Verse 11. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen and amen. Here we go. So in verse 11, in verse 10, he's like, listen, you try me in this and I'll pour out blessing upon blessing. I'm going to go over here. Everybody look at me. So here's what he says. He says, listen, you test me in this, you try me in this, and man, I'll bless your socks off. But it doesn't stop there. This is the coolest part about this. God's like, that's not all I'll do. I'm going to go even a step further for you. I'm going to rebuke the devourer. Who's the devourer? Satan, our enemy. What does he try to devour? He's going to try to take your peace. He's going to try to destroy your things. He's going to do it. Why? Well, because if you can keep focused on things and your need for things, you won't pay attention to God. Much like the bee. Amen. Think about that just for a second. Hey, God, thanks for giving me an illustration. We're going to use Satan to our benefit. I don't know where it went. Of course, if he lands on my head, you're going to hear me scream like a little girl. I'm all cool now, but yeah, let me know if he's like, because you know, I don't know he's there until he lands, because what most people don't know about bald men is hair is more than just to help you with your looks. They're feeler tentacles. So if you're getting close to something, you're going to know before you bump it. Amen. Okay. I don't know until I got a cut. and amen says the other bald man. Here we go. Verse 11, he says this. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. What's he saying? Listen, man, I'm going to prosper your work. And whatever you do, I'm going to prosper it. And it won't fail to bear fruit. So not only am I going to bless you if you just try me in this, test me in this, prove me wrong in this, is what God says. And I will protect and bless your works. That money will go further than you ever thought it would. I'm going to tell you that when Sherry and I, when we first got back together, because we had separated for a while, this is before I got saved, and then we come back together. And when I got saved, they said, the first thing they said is, you need to get baptized. Well, me not trusting anyone because my life was on the streets, I said, show me in the Bible. Right? I'm not going to take any man's word for it. So they opened the Bible and showed me where I need to get baptized. Guess what I did? Got baptized. Then they said, you need to start tithing. And I said, you want my money? Show me in the Bible. You know what they did? They opened up the scriptures and they showed me in the Bible. I immediately started tithing. Sherry and I were talking and I asked her, because we were just getting back together. We never divorced, so that I'm not disqualified from the pulpit or from the pastorate. But I talked to her about the tithe and she goes, I can't afford it. And I'm like, you can't not afford it. We're going to tithe. Because she was living on her own and her money was real tight. We started tithing. All of a sudden, the money wasn't as tight as it used to be. Can't even explain it. When we came to New York, the money was real tight. Like tight, tight. So tight it wasn't there. For us to see. But we were always faithful with the tithe. Before we started the church, we would tithe whatever we made to our home church. Because we were always faithful with the tithe. It wasn't ours. It's God's. And we would give away money that we absolutely needed to pay our bills. We gave away money we absolutely needed to survive on. Because it wasn't ours. It was God's. We never missed a bill. We never missed a meal. We never came up short in anything we wanted to do. Now, we didn't get ridiculous with what we wanted to do. Amen. We realize we have a budget. Even to this day, we have a budget. You have a budget. Don't go outside of your budget. And you will find you won't miss a meal either. And you won't miss a bill. You can't be foolish with it. We have to be responsible, but God will use that, and he will use that to bless you and to bless others. I find it absolutely amazing when people go, I've had people get so mad at me because I talk about the tithe, and I say, listen, God wants a tenth of your money. And I had one lady, she sent me an email. Oh, my goodness. Praise God I got thick skin, because if not, that would have cut me 8 ways from Sunday. I've never seen such a greedy pastor as you. That's how it started. How dare you tell me God wants my money? You want my money. The church wants my money. And went on and on and on and on and on and on. And I was foolish enough to read the whole thing. And then I just stopped and started praying for her. People say, how can you expect a widow on fixed income to tithe? I don't. God does. And who needs a bigger blessing from God than the widow or the widower on fixed income? Who needs the hand of God on them more than anybody, than those who are limited in what they can do. And you say, well, you're just trying to take their money. I'm not. I promise you, I'm not. I'm just trying to get them to see the hand of God move in their life. And it was so cool with Howie. And Howie, I appreciate you coming up here and giving your testimony. Thank you for that. And knowing that you were on schedule to do this after having heart surgery, man, God has blessed you to even come in and have the strength and do that. So God bless you. Thank you again. But I don't know if you noticed, Howie's not running marathons nowadays. He's not able to go out and get another job. And so he has to trust God. And God provides every month. Nancy, you don't fail to tithe. And I don't know because I don't look, but I just know you. You don't fail to tithe. Has God ever let you down? And he won't. Guys, I'm just saying, it's not about the money. God doesn't need the money. God wants you. And if you're faithful to the tithe, God says, I will bless you. The only place in Scripture and the only topic in Scripture where it says, test me, is on money. Otherwise, the Bible says, don't tempt the Lord your God. Right? Think about that just for a second. And if you believe the scriptures that say, don't tempt the Lord thy God, you have to believe the scriptures when God says, try me in this. Man, I want to rock your world. I want to show you how good I am, how great I am. But return to me. And the only way that and it's just so crazy, God's like, return to me. How shall we return? With the tithe. With the tithe, you're robbing me. If you go into the New Testament, and again, next week we'll talk about it, so I'm not going real deep in it. You go into the New Testament, and we're going to talk about attitude, right? Because people say, God doesn't want me to give the tithe. He wants me to give with a cheerful heart. You mean you can't give 10% with a cheerful heart? Oh, don't give by compulsion. Pastor, you're trying to make us feel guilty. No, I'm not. I'm trying to educate you on the Word of God. See, we can make all kinds of excuses, but I will tell you this, it comes down to relationship. God says, try me in this and see if I won't show you I am God. Then the next question is, do you trust him? Do you trust him? God says he is a debtor to no one. Do we trust him? Do we believe him? That he's a debtor to no one. Give to him his tithe, first fruits, and see if he won't open up windows of heaven and pour out blessings. And test him, right? And I can say that because he says that. And then he says, I'll rebuke, verse 11, I'll rebuke the devourer for your sakes, that he won't destroy the labor, the fruit of your ground. Nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And then verse 12, he says, and all nations will call you blessed. Blessed. Why? Because they will see the hand of God on your life. You'll be blessed. And people will see it. And it doesn't take long. Especially if you're trusting God, that relationship changes to where you have a deeper love for God and people will see it. And I'm not saying money makes you walk closer with God, but what I am saying is you give God his tithe, he's going to bless you and people will call you blessed. They're going to see the hand of God on you. Isn't that what the scripture is saying here? And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delight, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts, a delightful group of people. Guys, let me encourage you to try God in this. Just test him. I will tell you this, I have no clue who tithes and who doesn't. I do know that if you agree to be a member of the church, one of the things that is in the agreement is that you sign, by the way. Yeah, I'm going to make you feel guilty here if you're one here. That you sign. Yes, I agree to the things of the church membership, and so I agree to do this. And one of the things in there, if you are a member of the church, you agree to tithe. Take care of the church. I don't know if you do or you don't. Truth is, it doesn't matter to me. God always takes care of his house. God always keeps his promises. The question is, are you keeping yours? Do you really have a problem giving God his tithe? If so, you got a problem with God. See, guys, this is simple math. You know, I used to get nervous. Everybody else is like Howie, my wife, and others will say, Nancy, and there's some others. I love the month of November. I love it. And inside, I used to die. Oh, dear God, here comes November. Lord, people just think I want their money. God, you know I don't want their money. And I would put myself under all this pressure. I don't do that anymore. I live in truth. I hold on to the truth. God honors the truth. And the rest is between you and him when it comes to money. It's just between you and him. I know there are people who, no matter what, they won't miss the tithe. They just won't miss it. And then they'll come up to me, something will happen in their life, and they're like, Pastor, I got to tell you how God blessed. I got to tell you how God blessed. I got to tell you how God blessed. Matter of fact, one gentleman went into the hospital, and then he was out of work for 3 months from back surgery. And he said, Pastor, you're not going to believe this, but I never missed not one bill. And he would live paycheck to paycheck. I never missed not one bill. I go, how's that possible? You haven't been to work. Facetious question, just so you know, because I already knew. I already knew he was faithful to the tithe. And he goes, it's the craziest thing. He goes, you know, I never missed my tithe. And it was like it was a savings account. When I needed it the most, man, it was, everything was right there. God blessed and he blessed and he blessed. Never missed a bill, never missed a payment, never went hungry, even though he was out of work for 3 months. Think about that just for a second. And the only thing he could attribute it to was the tithe. Guys, I'm just telling you, man, it works. God's word is true. God is faithful. The question is, are we going to trust him? The problem is not with God. It's never with God. The problem is always with us. And I love how people say, God understands I need it more than he does. But then why did he say, try me and test me in this? Why did he say, give to me what's mine? And if you're not, you're robbing me. I don't know that God understands any reason we have to be a thief. I just don't. But I do know this. God understands when we give to him what's his, when we don't have it to give or think we don't have it to give. And I find it interesting that God doesn't ask for so much that it puts us in a detriment. He just doesn't ask for that much. Again, are we willing to trust him and give to him what's his? That's the question that we have to answer. Are we willing to give to God what is his. So in verse 13 or 12, I'm sorry, he says, all nations will call you blessed, for you'll be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. And then the next thing he goes into, which has nothing to do with the tithe, but I find it very interesting, the attitude toward God. In verse 13, he says this, your words have been harsh against me, says the Lord, yet you say, what have we spoken against you? Verse 14, please. You have said, it is useless to serve God. What profit is it that we have kept his ordinance and that we have walked as mourners before the Lord of hosts? Just hold it right there. I find it real interesting that God talks about the tithe, how they've robbed him with the tithe, and then he points out their attitude toward him. It's useless, God. You're useless. It's useless to serve you. There's no profit in it, and blah, 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 blah. Don't you find that really interesting? Okay, maybe it's just me. It's just me, right? Because I think that this right here is the real picture and the real problem with why they weren't tithing. They didn't trust him. And there's no profit in walking with him. Because they weren't getting what they wanted. And so why are they going to give God what he requires? And God says, you've robbed me. And then the next thing he says is, you talk smack about me. Just very interesting. Because I'm sure there are some that sit here today and go, what good is it to give God a tenth? He doesn't need it. I do. What profit is there if I give it? Oh, I'm just giving it to the church. And so we can pay the exorbitant salary of the pastor. Thank you, Howie. That was really funny. I'm like, oh my goodness. Yes, now everyone knows I didn't tell you what to say up here. But right, isn't that what some attitudes are? And God says, listen, this is why you're robbing me, because your relationship with me is really, really hindered. It's useless to serve God. What profit is it that we have kept his ordinance? What ordinance is he talking about? The tithe. That was right before it, where he says, you didn't keep my ordinance. You robbed me. And then he goes here, what profit is it that we've kept his ordinance and that we have walked as mourners before the Lord of hosts? All we do is suffer, 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 suffer. See, it's the attitude. And next week, we're going to talk about the attitude in serving God or giving God what's his. And I'm not trying to guilt anyone. I'm just trying to show you there is a process. Let me tell you something. When you're on fire for God, you're plugged in. You're like, yeah, God's everything. Whoa, give him a tenth. Give him a hundredth. I don't care. He's going to take care of me. Life is great. God is awesome. And then after a while, we quit paying so much attention to God, and Satan will help us be like Peter. And instead of walking with Jesus on water, which is amazing, we start looking at the storm of life. And when we start looking at the storm of life, we forget who allows us to walk on water. And then this becomes our attitude. Guys, I just want to encourage you to make sure you're plugged in with God. Tithing or not tithing, that's between you and God. Because here's what I know for sure. I'll be faithful to the tithe. I have been since day one. And God has always blessed. And God will bless this church because we'll stay faithful to him. And so I know that. I don't have a problem with that. I'm so secure in that. I know who God is. I know how much he loves me. I know how much he loves his house, meaning the house that we come together because it is a gathering place. I know how much he loves the bride. And that's all those who are Christians. I know God is true to his word. He's a God who cannot lie. I know God never changes. God even says, here, I am the Lord. I do not change. So I have all these promises of God and who he is. I have seen God's hand move. And so I can't even begin to tell you all the ways I've seen God's hand move. I've even had people ask me, how can you trust God so much? Are you kidding me? How can I not? I just want you to experience that. Here is my challenge, and I give it every year. We have All Tither Sunday. Usually All Tither Sunday is on the first week of December. And I just want you to start praying today. If you've never tithed before, tithe on All Tither Sunday. If you never tithed before and you don't plan on tithing again, tithe on All Tither Sunday. I just want you to test God one time. Just one time. And only don't tithe on all the money you've been stealing from God. Don't do that. I'm kidding, right? Not really. Anyway, tithe on the paycheck you get that week or the week you got before. Just tithe on that paycheck, tithe on All Tither Sunday, and then pay attention to see if God doesn't do something for you. And the reason I can say this is because even God says, test me in this, try me in this, prove me in this. So I can clearly say this and not be out of scripture, not put out an expectation that God won't fulfill. I'm challenging you on the first Sunday in December to try God, to test God, to prove God, only in money, nothing else, right? Because he says, don't do it anything else, but you can do it here. You have permission from God. How crazy is that? We have permission from God to test him in money. I really want to encourage you to look at your attitude toward God and your attitude toward money. And which one seems to have more value or take more precedence in your life? If you're struggling to give God that tenth, and I'm only asking for you to try him once, and that's the first week of September. If you're struggling to do that and you find you can't bring yourself to give God a tithe, then you have to ask yourself, who or what is your God? Are you that attached to your money that you can't give God a tithe or at least try him as he says to do one time? Guys, I just want you blessed. That is it. I just want you blessed. But if you can't trust God for your money, or with your money, how in the world are you able to trust him with your soul? I mean, this is a real question, right? God, I'm going to give you, I just made $1,000. God, I'm going to give you $100. Okay, God, I can't trust you with $100. I'll throw $10 in because good night, man, that's a lot of money. And then you turn around and praise him for saving your soul. Am I the only one that sees a struggle in that connect or disconnect? I'm just challenging you because God's challenging you to try him. Just try him one time. Some of you have even told me, man, when I tithe, God is so faithful, man. It blesses me. I can't even explain it. And then all of a sudden you get caught up in making money your God again and robbing God. And then you tell me about all the problems you're having in your life. And I'll go, don't you see the connection? They come together. And yet, we'll still hold on to our money before we hold on to God. Guys, I'm telling you, I don't look at anybody's giving. I don't. Once every quarter, I want to know if my leaders are faithful in tithing, because if you're not faithful in tithing, you can't be a leader. It's that simple. Non-negotiable. You can still come to the church. You don't have to tithe, but you can't be a leader in this church if you don't tithe. It's the only ones that, and I don't even care how much it is. I just want to know they're faithful to it and that it hasn't changed. Other than that, I don't know what you give. Don't care what you give. I mean, I care in the sense that you're doing right before God. Other than that, though, I don't know. And that's the coolest thing for me, because you could be given $10,000 a month and I'd be clueless. Because I'm not showing anybody any favoritism because they might give or not give. I'm going to do what God's called me to do, and I'm going to love you across the board just like God's called me to do. And it doesn't matter if you're the richest person in the church or the poorest person in the church. I don't care. So I'm telling you right up front, I don't know who gives, who doesn't. And come the first week in December, All Tithers Sunday, I still won't know who did and who didn't. Doesn't matter to me. But I also know that for my leaders, if I'll go to them, if I see a problem in their life, I'll go to them. The first thing I ask, though, before I go to them is, hey, does so-and-so quit tithing? Pull it up. Yep. That's why I'm seeing a spiritual problem. It shows every time. It always does. I mean, don't ask me why. It's God's plan. It's the way God does it. Let me encourage you. The first week of December, try God. Just test Him with a tithe. A real tithe. 10%. Because that's what He asked for. That's what's His. And I know some people go, well, how about 2%? I'll start out at 2%. Give God 2%, but you're still robbing Him of 8. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Okay, maybe I'm the only one who sees humor in that. But try God. Just try God. Try God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, today I come before You. Father, please help everyone to realize and understand that You're serious about this. Father, help them also to know and understand. I care about their soul, not their money. Father, for those who are struggling, I pray that You just do something amazing in their life to help them see how serious You are about pouring out blessings on them, whatever that looks like. Father, for those who refuse to tithe, help them also to see, Lord, that they bring a curse upon themselves. That's what Your word says. Lord, we don't know what that curse looks like. It could just be a crazy, unsettled life. Lord, whatever it is, I pray that You would move in the hearts of each and every one of us, not just in this church, but in every church around the world and in every Christian around the world, Father, that You would move in their hearts so they realize that if they try You in this, that they're going to get blessings. And Father, You just want to bless. And thank You for that. Lord, we thank You and we love You. Father, I thank You for this church, for everyone in this church. Father, I pray You continue to keep Your hand upon it. In Jesus' name, amen.